Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments, integrations, and optimization in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'm A.J. Malaragno, the president of Cingala Consulting and the host of this week's Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests live every week, 11 a.m. Central, and on demand through our website, and you can also download them through iTunes. Today's topic is around the impact of mobile health. As many of you probably already know, the mobile devices are taking over our lives. I read in some research from Boston Consulting that by 2015, 7.4 billion mobile subscribers will be out there. That's 103% of our global population, obviously meaning that people have multiple devices, whether that's for business, personal, as well as wellness apps. Talking about 80% of physicians using mobile devices for either personal or actually being a personal assistant purposes for like research, for example. So today I wanted to bring in our guest, Ben Choder, who is a very close friend of mine, business partner, and has been a mentor for several years, who is also an expert in this area of mobile health. And I just thought we'd have a conversation around what the impact is and where it's been, what Ben sees as far as where it's going, and what some of the barriers are. Before I bring Ben on, I wanted to just do a little introduction. Ben joined Sherpa Digital Media in November of 2013, and we'll get the lowdown on exactly what that is. Board member and CEO overseeing day-to-day operation of Sherpa's West Coast and East Coast Professional Services Division and studio operation. Ben brings over 25 years of experience as a leader in world of online video production. He was most recently co-founder and CEO of Haptik, of mobile health startup, and founder of Stream 57, a leading corporate streaming media company and the former global head of streaming and virtual events. Ben has a vast knowledge of everything from video to new technology. I like to call him a serial entrepreneur. Ben, welcome to the show.
Wow, AJ, that's super flattering, and it's an honor to be on your show. You know I'm a huge fan of yours and everything your company does, and again, an honor to be on the show. What do you want to know? Let's talk mobile health.
Let's talk. Tell me about Haptik and how that concept came up, what Haptik is, and what you did during your time there.
So I am one of the co-founders and former CEO of Haptik. I was with Haptik for a little less than 2 years after its start. Haptik was built on the original principle that, patients and physicians need to engage, and mobile health is going to play a major role into it. So the whole original concept was based, hey, if we believe that one day you're going to walk into your doc's office, he's going to say, AJ, you have high cholesterol, I'm going to put you on Lipitor and a cholesterol adherence app so you remember to take your medicine. And also, AJ, I realize you have high blood pressure, and why don't we hook you up with this blood pressure cuff, and every day just log on, put on the blood pressure cuff, I'll get the information, I'll know if it gets into a red zone, and we'll help monitor, whether it's me, the physician, monitoring, or you self-monitoring. It was truly built with the belief that one day patients and physicians are going to engage this way. And part of it is, 5-6 years ago, patients would run into their doc's office because they read something on WebMD, and they'd say, doc, I have this problem, and it says it on WebMD. So it has to be. And the doc would say, whoa, let's take a step back. Let's do some tests, or after you read the article, no way, you don't have this. Or maybe you do. But at least it started this engagement. Well, now the problem is the same patient runs into doc's office and goes, "Doc, I know I have diabetes, but I just heard about this glucose monitoring app. And if you went to iTunes, there's over 150 glucose monitoring apps. How's the doc going to be able to suggest, recommend, or engage with a patient with an app if he has no idea where these apps came from?" So the other thing Haptik wanted to do is, all right, take the 40,000 apps and do some sort of certification on it. And not certification to say that it totally worked, but more like the ADA did with toothpaste. They never came out and said Colgate's better than Crest AJ. They came back and said, hey, both of these meet the criteria for good solid toothpaste, and you pick the flavor you like better. You pick the color and the brand you like better. And that's really what Haptik wanted to do, General. We have a patent pending technology on prescribing apps to patients and devices, and then also we wanted to help people cut through the clutter of the tens and thousands of apps out there so they have a good housekeeping seal on it. And that's the fundamental business.
And Ben, are you finding or did you find that the physicians in the office, were they adopting this whole mobile health app movement, or was it more of this uncertainty out there of, boy, let's wait and see?
I think it was a combination, AJ. So now just talking not about Haptik, but more about what I saw from going around the country talking to hospitals, going around the country talking to doctors, speaking on panels, hosting my own Internet mHealth radio show for like 80 weeks and getting the feedback that I found out there. I think there's no rhyme or reason. Some docs were really into it. Some hospitals were engaging with it. A lot of people were on the wait and see, but nobody didn't admit that it's going to be part of the healthcare world. The biggest questions were, who's going to pay for it? Should the insurance companies pay for it? Should the hospitals be into this? Because, meaningful use stage two, you better engage. Readmissions, no hospital wants a patient to come back in 30 days. So if I can monitor them remotely, maybe I can cut the percentage of them that come back in 30 days. Or should it be purely on the patient side? Should I now take control of my health, where healthcare in the past, or at least when I was a kid growing up, and I'm in my 40s now, it was not a proactive thing. It was, I went to my doctor when I was sick, and I went to my doctor for a checkup. And that's what healthcare meant to me. And now I think it's more important, what do I do to stay healthier? What do I do to engage better? What do I do to monitor? And then, which leads me to the other thing that I think is really going to drive this. 10,000 baby boomers, AJ, are turning 65 every day. They want to age in place. How are they going to be able to age in place unless me as, my dad's 85 years old. How I want to monitor my dad. I want to know that his vitals are good. I want to know what's going on. And then so does the physician or the insurer or the caregiver. So I think it's all converging. And if you asked me 3 years ago, I thought it was like 3 to 5 years away. If you ask me now, mobile health is going to be part of, most people's lives, in my opinion, in the next 12 to 24 months. Yeah, that soon.
Wow. Ben, how does the government control this? I know that you spoke to Congress on this, and how do they control it? Do they control it? Should they get involved or stay out of this?
All right, so I'm going to give you an answer in three ways. First, I had the honor of testifying before Congress and on the FDA and mobile apps, and probably one of the biggest honors of my life, and one of the greatest things that came from it is that Congress really cared. They agreed. And it was, when I testified, it was more about the FDA came out with their draft guidelines on what's considered an FDA app and what or device and what's not. And what's clearly with the and what was cool is we were there to push that they came out with their final guidelines, which they have. And we like to feel, the five panelists and myself, that we had maybe something to do with them pushing it forward, which is great. But really, the question is, what makes an FDA app? So one is, the government should be involved, and the FDA should be involved anytime any physician is going to make a clinical decision based on information you got on an app. But should the FDA be in control of an app that reminds you to take your Lipitor? Absolutely not. So it's setting clear guidelines of what's going to be an app or a device that's going to be under the jurisdiction of the FDA and what is purely just an app. And my opinion, and I've always said this, any app that anyone's going to make a clinical decision on should always go through the FDA first. That's why they're there, and that's what they should do. And anything else should fall in the area that's not. Also, tied in with that, AJ, listen, when CMS starts reimbursing or giving patients mobile devices for monitoring or doing it, then everyone else will follow. And, you know, I'm a big believer if in other countries where it's a single payer, if I keep someone out of the hospital or I keep people healthier or if I keep them at their job, the single payer organization is the biggest winner, right? Because I'm not treating them and I'm not paying for it. In the U.S., you know, if the CMS starts saying, hey, we're going to reimburse physicians or patients for using a set of apps or a set of connected devices, then I think then the Aetnas and the Cignas and the Unitas will follow suit. But I think that has to happen first. It still blows me away that the insurance companies aren't all over this, AJ, because think about who the biggest winner is. Every time you don't go to the ER, they win. Every That's time right. you stay on your job and don't take a day off, the employer wins, which ties into the insurance. So it's got to happen, but I don't see – there's not a strong leader out there. But the good news is, you know, right now in D.C., the mHealth Summit's going on, and the companies that used to be there were smaller companies. The companies there now, like, you know, the WebMDs, the IMSs, the Aetnas, they're all involved in this. It's going to happen. It's just cutting through a lot of, you know, good and bad to get there. But, you know, the coolest part about it to me is the technology is there. And, you know, you mentioned on the top that I've been streaming. When I got involved in video and streaming in the 90s, we had incredible technology, but the pipes weren't there. No one had iPads. They didn't exist. No one had iPhones. No one had 4G. No one had Fios at home and unlimited bandwidth. So we were creating incredible technology, but no one could use it. Now, for the first time, everyone has a device, you know, a smart device that can handle this, that could the computers inside it can handle this data, and the apps are being created. So it is the perfect storm that the devices are ready, the people are ready, the technology is ready. This only happens once in a lifetime, and now let's see where it goes forward.
So to that point, Ben, and for our audience, with the debacle of the Obamacare website and not being yep. able to handle traffic, which to you and me seems bizarre, you know, how yep. they don't test that. And so given that, if indeed insurance companies come on board or the FDA starts to really push this, can we handle it? Can our networks and our capacity, can it be met?
All right, let's look at it this way. The Obamacare website debacle was not a technology debacle because technology couldn't handle it. It was a developer debacle, right? It was who they gave to do it. You know, think about sites like iTunes and think about sites like Amazon and probably 1,000 other sites who get 10 times that traffic every single day. This is not a pipe thing that it can't be handled. This was just really bad, you know, general contracting, right? Simple.
Right.
You know, you get one house built and it's rock solid. You get build another house that didn't do it the right way and it floods the first time it rains. And that was the problem. So I think it can totally be handled. And, you know, one of the other things that I want to tie into it, because I know your company does a lot in the contact center side.
Right.
And I think the contact centers for institutions and for payers are going to play a huge, huge role in digital health. And part of it is, you know, when I'm a proponent of mobile health, but mobile health does not mean there's not human contact involved.
Right.
And mobile health doesn't mean that everybody wants to get their information or their reminders or their updates the same way. And I think the world of contact centers for the first time is going to be, it's not about just incoming or setting up appointments or asking questions, and it's not just about outbound reminding people about appointments. It's going to be, they're going to be able to collect data. It's going to be a lot more convergence on that. And I don't want anyone to think I'm saying that this is take anything mobile can save a lot of money, but it's not about taking the human element out of it. But it doesn't mean every time there's something up, you have to go to the ER to your doctor. So
yes, yeah, and we see that all the time, Ben, where we're going into a client and they are trying to address the fact that their patients want to connect with them or interact with them in various ways, and they don't have that single message or that consolidated effort in place where they can handle it through mobile or they can handle it through phone in a consistent manner. So I think you're right in that mobile's not, at least my belief, is not going to take over and that's going to be the only way of communicating. However, it will be a demand of the patient to say, this is the way I want to communicate.
You're dead on. You're dead on, my friend. You nailed it.
So given that, what are some of the hurdles that let's start with the healthcare organizations. So a large health system that you can go into and they know they have to do something with mobile other than just making their corporate site mobile friendly. What are some of the things that are facing them? Is it priorities? Is it money?
I think it's two things. I think it's two things. One is it's partially priorities, but it's also, you know, them thinking to themselves, all right, how are we going to roll this interoperability? All right, so if this is going to be successful, and I am a physician, I'm going to engage with patient, or the hospital is going to engage, or the informatics team of a hospital is going to say every patient who comes in with this is going to get this. It's got to talk to the EMRs and the EHRs. And if an organization is doing PHR as well, then it has to be able to talk. So I think interoperability is the biggest thing. And I think a lot of the mHealth that came out in what we'll call first generation mHealth lived in their own island. And you can't silo this. There has to be, you know, that information's got to be able to, easily accessible to a physician, let's say, through Epic, right? And it's got to be easy accessible to Aetna if they're the insurer who's reimbursing for it. And, oh, by the way, it has to be easy accessible to me as the patient. And then, oh, this data, I don't want this data coming into 9,000 locations. Where's the dashboard? So it sounds daunting what I just said, but in a lot of ways what I just said is really simple. When you build an app, you just have to basically say, what is it going to talk to? Is the API going to be open, and should I be thinking about that? So my advice would be to any institution that's going down, it's not, first you have to find the right formulary of apps and devices. But two, which is almost more important, don't pick 9 apps if they only go into Allscripts and you're an Epic house. So it's, I think part of it's that, it's how do I wrap my hands around it? Everyone's budget's tight. Keep in mind, you know, and you know this better than anyone, AJ. 3 years ago, very few hospitals had chief information officers, innovation officers. And a year ago, most didn't even have chief informatics officers. Now, almost every institution has someone acting in those roles.
Right.
So they're making
right.
the right step forward, but it still has to come together, and the hospitals need to create their rules around it. And keep in mind, they're a hospital, so they're busy taking care of patients, and they're busy taking care of doctors, and they're busy dealing with all the rules and regulations that go around with it. Where do they cut out the time to do this, you know?
And it goes back to the, you know, what, no matter what the technology is, if it's not part of that physician or nurse process in the office, to them, it's just another step in the process that, you know, when they implemented an EMR, and I just heard it last week at a client, we were promised the electronic medical record is going to make our lives easier. And it if anything, it's made our lives harder. And how are you now taking that EMR and truly trying to optimize it and making it work for you? So whether it's an app or any kind of other interaction with the patient, if it's not part of that workflow, it's probably not going to be used.
Right. So I agree with you 100%. 100% that it has to be part of the workflow. I agree 100% it has to be part of the workflow. But I also here's my argument on the other side.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't want to put more work on the doctor side, but what I do want to do is it's changing the healthcare continuum. We are going to use mobile to keep our patients healthier, to stay more in contact with them. So guess what? This might not be easy. There might be some bumps in the road, but it's needed. And so I want to keep it in your flow, but in reality, come on. It's not just about treating patients who come into the doctor's office. It's about let's keep them healthier. And so guess what? It's got to change. Sorry, you know, everyone goes, why can't it be the way it was? Well, guess what? There was no iPhones, iPads, and there was no technology 30 years ago.
Very
or guess
true.
What? If there was, we wouldn't be talking about this now. We'd be talking about some hologram that's going to allow me to beam myself into a doctor's office. I mean, that's – someone's just got to do it. It just makes – it's just – to me on the outside looking in, it just makes sense.
Yeah. So what's next for Ben Choder? What are you working on now? I started it all off with talking about Sherpa Digital. What is that? What are you doing now?
So there's two things. One is, I mean, I'm a huge fan of what you're doing on the radio and what everyone's doing, and I think that the world is at this crossroads of digital media. You know, you could use healthcare as an example. No one's corporate infrastructure, whether you're a hospital or whether you're Aetna or whether you're WebMD, was ever built to deliver video, digital video, internally and externally. And now it's time. You know, so it's time that everyone wants, if a president of an organization could sit in the United Club watching Games of Thrones on his iPad mini in full HD, he wants to make sure he can deliver content to not only his employees but his customers or his patients in the same way. And really what this company is all about is three things: mapping, gear, and trek. So name Sherpa, thinking of mountain mapping, is we want to go in and analyze corporate networks to figure out what's the best way for them to deliver to their intended audience. Two is gear. What equipment do they need? You know, what do you need? You know, whether it's hardware, software, whether it's encoders, whether it's cameras, to make this happen and to keep it going. And the third is the trek. We're there to help people guide them through this, because just because you build an internal corporate television station or a corporate YouTube doesn't mean you have what you need to fill it with content and in the right format. Some should be audio radio like this type of program that I could listen to live or on demand or on an iPad. Some should be live video. Some should be on-demand video. Some should be 45 minutes in Q&A. Some should be 5 minutes. And really, the world is changing, and really what we're all about is just being a Sherpa, being a guide that helps people get to that next step. And I'm really excited about this next juncture of my career and my investment. And then also still huge in the whole mobile health space. I live it, I drink it, and I use the technology.
That's great. What do you you know, I think, Ben, I've always been a fan of how you take technology or uses of technology in other industries and be able to bridge those across multiple industries and treating it as if, you know, so many times healthcare was never looked at as a business. And I often struggled being from the business world, coming in there and say, why aren't we in corporate America, so to speak? You would never do this. You would never make these decisions. So the video introduction into healthcare and the streaming and all of this that we're trying to better communicate, I think what you're doing and some of the hurdles that you are going over are essential to the success of healthcare.
It is. I mean, get my education. I mean, for the first time, think about it. Let's just venture out just 3 years from now. My guess is in 3 years, 90% of Americans who right now have an HD TV or an LCD or a plasma TV are going to have a smart TV, which basically means that they basically have the internet in their device, in their TV, which means that I, as any hospital in the country, can now, to my patient population, deliver not small screen video, but large screen video. And guess what? Not only live, but on demand. You're going to engage with me this way. And I want to be engaged this way. And if you take 75% of the population under 25 years old, most don't have home phone numbers anymore. Most don't have cable in their house. They have internet and they live on, you know, iTunes, Netflix, a few other channels, and they're getting their content this way, whether on a small device or a big device, and we have to adapt to that to deliver content that way.
And I have to imagine TV is going to follow online with really learning their watchers.
Yep.
or their
yep.
viewers,
and yep.
and now starting to recommend or even prescribe shows for them to be educated on.
I call it the Amazon Netflix experience.
Yes.
Amazon, yep. I go to Amazon. Man, when I log on, they say, hey, Ben, you like these three last books? How about this? You watch Netflix. You watch these four shows, Ben? You should like these four shows. Why aren't we doing that in education, especially in healthcare? Oh, Ben, you have diabetes, and you're on these three drugs. Man, this might be really interesting for you. Why aren't we doing that, AJ?
How many times do you know, if you're watching CNBC or MSNBC or whatever, yep. and there's a two-minute blurb on a particular drug or a particular condition that you may be lucky enough to see it, you know, if you're flipping through the channels. But what about a way to categorize all of that stuff into not just shows anymore, but into segments so that you can see a particular case or a particular condition, you know, things like that, I think, are definitely
important. I agree.
So, Ben, we're approaching the end of our time today. Any
very
final
sad.
Thoughts as we sign off here?
No, it's an honor to be on the show. I love engaging with you both on the show, off the show. I think what you're doing is really good for the audience. And, you know, I think that 2014 is going to be an incredible place. A lot of changes are going to happen in the healthcare continuum, and I'm just excited to see it all.
Great. Thanks, Ben, so much. I really appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, AJ. You have a great holiday.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
This will conclude our show for today. Please join us next week when our topic will be outsourcing contact center functionality. Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at ScholarsConsulting.com.